Brothers and sisters, I spent the latter part of last week and the earlier part of this week contemplating the theme of discipleship during my annual retreat. Ironically, before I knew the theme of my retreat, I'd submitted the bulletin article found in today's bulletin on discipleship. And I'd encourage everybody here to read that article, not because I wrote it, but because it's important for us to understand what it means to be a disciple of Christ. In order to be a disciple of Christ, several things need to happen. First, we have to have an encounter with Christ. After all, you can't listen to and follow someone who is unknown to you. St. Paul speaks of this in the second reading taken from the letter to the Galatians. In writing to the church of Galatia, Paul reminds the people of his former way of life. Before becoming Paul, he was known as Saul, a self-described zealot for the Jewish faith. Saul's ardor for the faith of his ancestors was so strong that it led him to persecute the church. Paul, having never truly encountered Christ, was unable to follow Christ. Only after Christ revealed himself to Saul was it that Saul was able to go through that conversion process and become Paul, the apostle of Christ. Now recall that Saul's conversion wasn't something that he did, but rather it was the work of Christ. As such, Paul takes no credit for his conversion. Rather, he credits God. He says that God, quote, was pleased to reveal his son to me. I find this important, as so often we disciples of Christ want to take credit for our faith, as if it were something that we merited. While having an encounter with Christ is certainly a blessing, it's not something that we merit. Rather, it's something that Christ does for us. It's something that God has been pleased to do for us. Therefore, we must imitate Paul's humility and never allow our faith to turn into self-righteous pride. Observe how Paul circumvents the temptation to become self-righteous. He does so by acknowledging that the gospel he preaches is not his own. You know, essentially, he's saying, I didn't figure this out. This isn't my doing. This was revealed to me by Christ. Give him the credit. Furthermore, Paul tells us that Jesus didn't reveal the gospel to him arbitrarily, but rather for a specific purpose. Paul was to proclaim the gospel of Christ to the Gentiles. Now, this, of course, is another example of God's sense of ironic humor. God chose Paul, one of the most zealous Jews, to preach the gospel of Christ, whom Paul had been persecuting, to the Gentiles who were outside of the Jewish covenant. Now, irony aside, the same dynamic is true for all of Christ's disciples. Namely, Christ does not reveal himself to people arbitrarily. Rather, he reveals himself for a specific purpose. Everyone who has encountered Christ has been given a share in his saving mission. This means that every disciple of Christ is, in fact, a missionary. We're instructed to go into the world and to proclaim the gospel of Christ. While we share in the same broad mission to announce the gospel of the Lord, the specifics of how we do this will vary from person to person. Paul was chosen to proclaim the good news to the Gentiles. Others, such as St. Matthew, proclaimed it to the Jews. Now, here's the point. While we all participate in the overarching mission, each one of us has a specific context in which we do so. This context differs from person to person. Therefore, we can't simply copy what others are doing. Instead, we need to enter into a process of discernment so that we may understand how Christ is asking us, his disciples, to preach his gospel. If we take this discernment process seriously, it's likely that we will grow in our discipleship. But if we don't take this discernment process seriously, we could fall into the spiritual temptation known as acedia. a type of listlessness or apathy with regards to our mission. Aseidia occurs when we say, "That is what it is," or "Christ will do whatever he wants." It occurs when, rather than acting as people who have been charged with a sacred mission, instead, we just go through motions. Think, for example, of our worship at Mass. It can easily turn into a simple exercise of going through the motions. When we're just going through the motions, we're not fully and actively participating in giving glory to God, and our worship becomes rather stale. Compare this to the beautiful liturgies where we're actively participating through song, through gesture, and even through silence. In the latter, we're fully engaged as we give glory to God. Alternatively, the lack of proper discernment may lead us to the opposite of aseidia. This occurs when we receive the mission and enter into it full steam ahead without first contemplating the meaning of our encounter with Christ. You know, here we can think of the way in which some people may join a parish and sign up for every single ministry within the parish without first discerning how Christ is calling them to use their gifts and their talents. We need to take care to avoid this temptation as well. And instead, we need to prayerfully ask ourselves how Christ is asking us to witness and to preach his gospel. Notice that after his encounter with Christ, St. Paul didn't immediately begin his missionary travels throughout the Gentile regions of the Middle East. Nor did he show apathy towards his encounter. Rather, Paul tells us that he went to Arabia and Damascus, where presumably he contemplated his encounter with Christ. Then, after 3 years, he made haste for Jerusalem to confer with Peter. This last point is also pretty important. Paul didn't embark on his missionary work until he had first consulted with Peter. Peter, of course, is the point of unity for all Christians. In other words, Paul recognized that the mission that he received, even though it came from Christ, needed to be carried out in union with the wider church. He was not a solo artist. He wasn't a John Lennon. He was the Beatles. He knew that he needed the backing of the full church, and so he sought out Peter. Well, the same is true for all of us. Our mission as disciples isn't something that we embark upon alone. The church needs to play a crucial role in discerning our specific mission. This is perhaps best articulated during the ordination ceremony. In order for a man to be ordained a deacon or a priest in the church, not only does the individual receiving the sacrament of holy orders need to feel called to the ordained ministry, but the wider church needs to offer their testimony and their consent as well. Now, I recall my own ordination. Bishop Clark asked me about my desire to enter into the priesthood. But then he turned to Father Jim Schwartz, who at the time was the director of seminarians, and he asked Father Schwartz for his testimony. The testimony that Father Schwartz had obtained, not just from himself, but by inquiring among the faithful and among those responsible for my formation. And so in a very real sense, I can say that my vocation wasn't something that I discerned in isolation, but rather was something that was discerned with the entire church community. Well, the same should be true for every Christian disciple. Upon encountering Christ and realizing that we are called to be disciples, we must enter a period of discernment. So I encourage you, spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament where Christ is truly present, discerning your call. Speak to others to ensure union with the wider and universal Catholic Church. And then, once you understand the specific mission to which Christ has called you, you, like Paul, will be ready to go into the world and to preach a gospel that comes not from human beings, but from Jesus Christ himself. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all disciples of Christ.